pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, September 19th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins as always. How you doing, Dwayne, today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. I watched the first leg of the Warriors Cup, as did you last night. I'm not sure if we have the same reaction or different reactions. We'll find out in a minute. But it's a good day. Good
game, too.
Yeah. I was about to say it's a nice first Canadian summer day, if you follow. You can't say it the old way anymore. It's a nice, warm fall day, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's a nice original Canadian day.
Yeah,
sunny, hot, and was the same as Satsubutu yesterday, the Montreal Impact, with a 1-0 victory in leg number one of the Canadian Championship Final, the Voyagers Cup. And you know, Dwayne, for me last night, I did have a chance to get really close to the cup, literally, like, lifted it, put it on the table, and took pictures. I was like, I want to take pictures. You're like, sure, go ahead, do what you want. I'm like, sure, all right. So here we go. Picture of the Voyageurs Cup, the Coupe des Voyageurs, which is, yeah, of course, it's not a... The trophy is not spectacular in itself, but what it does represent, and it's ours. And for that reason, that trophy is one of my favorite trophies in the world.
Yeah, it's not quite like another trophy in Canada, which has like a guy with an 80s haircut and white gloves that's as famous as the trophy by this point carrying around. That was the Stanley Cup, if you know who I'm talking about. He does have an 80s haircut, though, doesn't he? Anyway.
Even 70s, but yes.
Yeah, if you know who I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It's not quite the same level, but it's a cool cup. Not really as you'd be surprised at how expensive it was if you know, but it doesn't look like much, but it's ours and we love it, and I'm glad you got to touch it. I think the last time I lifted it was like probably 6 or 7 years ago. It's pretty light, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it's lighter than you would think because, well, wood is not that heavy, and there's that metal bowl, and of course metal is not that cheap, and it's like nice metal, so of course that's what Drain is referring to when he says it's not that cheap. But the 1-0 game, well, let's talk a little bit about the game. And of course, when I have a little surprise present for our Patreons a little bit later after this show. I'm putting it together, all my audio from last night, so I had a chance to talk to, of course, Wilmer Cabrera, Samuel Piet, Zachary Broguillard, and Clément Diop for the Montreal Impact. I also talked to Greg Vanney and Laurent Simon and Michael Bradley. So this will be on our Patreon feed later today for patrons only. A little bonus for the Canadian Championship, a little post-game show with all the raw audio. But that win felt good for Montreal. Not only did the result, of course, they would have loved to have more than one goal. And we'll get back to that. But just seeing Montreal score at home, seeing Montreal play quickly on 1 to 2 touches early on in the game and then again later on in the game, they were effective. I don't know if they were inspired by watching Norwich in the weekend versus City, but they did have that little one touch, boom, 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 boom. Player like Chimichom, Samuel Piet really played well in midfield early in the game and gave Montreal the advantage in this one. I was surprised by the efficiency Montreal was showing playing last night.
Yeah, I thought it was a decent performance by Montreal. I did tweet at the end of the game that I thought it was a result that would probably satisfy no one, although I guess if you're going through the struggles that Montreal has had, you would probably be satisfied with the win over their rivals in the first leg, regardless of what happens in the second leg. My tweet was in context of the two-leg tie, right? You'd like more goals at home. From a TFC perspective, I thought they were pretty flat. It was an odd choice to not start Pozuelo and Josie, but bring them on. I didn't quite get that. He was like, he was half pregnant. He was treating the game in that way. So it's a bit of a weird performance altogether. But, you know, Piatti with the goal, he's the TFC killer. He really is. He has scored more goals than I think anyone else. I'll have to ask Martin Bailey for confirmation on that. But certainly Piatti has always come up big for Toronto. I thought maybe the only real moment he stood out in the game. But nonetheless, if that's what you do when you're standing out for a moment, then hey, yeah. Pat, you stood out. So there you go. But I don't know. You tell me, like, from a Montreal perspective, is 1-0 enough? And well, is it, even if it's not enough, does it matter?
Well, it's not enough. So I'll answer that part of the question for sure. It does matter. It does give Montreal a little competitive, I would say, positivity, which they were lacking over the last month, if not more than 1 month. And now this positive result that you can build on. But there were some injuries for Montreal in the game. Boyan was substituted just before halftime with what looks like a groin incomfort. And we'll see if there is more to it. That was a precautionary reason. Wilmer Cabrera mentioned I took him out because, well, I don't have a lot of players left and I have to deal with the players I have and I didn't want to take any chances. And then Urruti later on as well was, he came in to take over for Boyan in a different position and he subbed off injured too. So you have two players injured, probably not going to be able to be available on Saturday for the LA Galaxy game, and hopefully both are available for the return leg. But Saphir Tider, with a late yellow card in the game, is now suspended for the second leg of the Voyagers Cup final on yellow card accumulation. Seems like a very, I would say, harsh rule, because two yellows in four games is fine, but two yellows in eight games, depending on how long the tournament is, maybe that rule needs to be re-examined for the future if the tournament's going to be even bigger.
Yeah, I think wiping the yellow cards out after the semifinals would make a lot of sense. I mean, obviously, if someone gets a red card in the final, then they would need to sit out the second game. But other than that, I don't think that you should. I think you want any final contested and determined by the best players, regardless of yellow cards, because, you know, whether someone, you know, got an arbitrary yellow six games earlier. And that's face facts, too. Often yellow cards are random in a lot of ways. You might have six other fouls that are the same, but because there have been six other fouls, that guy happened to get the yellow. So is it fair? Anyway, but this is a debate we've been having for years.
Yeah, but it's a fact for the impact. And Wilmer Cabrera did address the situation after the game, and you can listen to his comments on our special show coming out for our Patreons at patreon.com/sports. Podcast and network, but 1-0 gives Montreal a little bit of an edge heading into the second leg. You mentioned Toronto was satisfied. Yeah, they were still trying to score a goal, and that was the Greg Vanney's comments after the game. He's like, we were going for the goal, but we also have a trip to LA. We also have been playing 7 games in 21 days, so it's a very busy stretch for us, so that's why I did some rotation. Which might explain why Pozuelo, Altidor, and Delgado started the game on the bench for TFC. Montreal pretty much putting a very strong lineup, their strongest lineup, very similar to what was Saturday's lineup. But Okonkwo came in later on in the game. But when you do look at the amount of games played and the Canadian Championship late in the season like this, Dwayne, it is becoming a point for Greg Vanney where he actually said that himself after the game. He's like, almost have to take a decision. Almost have to prioritize one or the other. And that's what the date change for the Canadian Championship Final does give you is, well, I have two fronts. And it's crunch time. It's playoff time in the Major League Soccer where we need to qualify for the playoffs. And on the other side, it's a final and a trophy to give us access to the CONCACAF Champions League. So if you were Greg Vanney or Wilmer Cabrera, which I hope for your sake you're not, but moving on, what would you prioritize, if any of the two, and is the starting 11 for Greg Vanney that he put for Toronto last night maybe in the same vein that, well, you have 3 games in 8 days and all of them are important?
I'm not going to make any bones about this. I'd prioritize the league because if I'm Greg Vanney, I prioritize the league. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners because of the type of listeners we get that would argue with that. But the reality is that Greg Vanney's not getting fired for losing the Canadian Championship. You know, he's going to make playoffs now, so I think he's probably safe regardless. But if they slip down to 7th or something in this run, if they slip to 8th, everything went crazy haywire in the last 3 games. But nonetheless, but if he slips, they don't get that home playoff game, they're 1-0, then yeah, his job's in jeopardy. Meanwhile, if they push up, but Atlanta won last night, so I don't think 3rd technically might have been in the equation if you had Atlanta do something shocking against Cincinnati last night. But without that happening, I think 4th is as high as they can get. But they do want to get 4th because 4th does allow them not only the chance to host that first round game, but if they were to beat what I think is going to be NYCFC in the second game, if they won the first, obviously, then there would be a better chance that they might get a second game out of it in the Eastern Final the higher you are in the standings, right? So you want to win all of those games that have left. If they get 9 points, then, yeah, it's even if you want to be really absurd and look way ahead, you want to get points on the West teams just in case too, right? So those points matter more than this to TFC. And as I've said before, I think if you get inside the brain of the brain trust, they wouldn't be too sad if there wasn't CCL action next year, because they already are going to have to open that stadium early. And there has been so many problems with that in the past. And they've had so many issues with starting the season with the CCL in the past couple of years that maybe a year off wouldn't be the worst thing. But, you know, they're still competitors. They're still going to go out in the second leg and try and win it. But as I said, it's the priority really has to be the league for any team, because that's what you're judged on at the end of the day. I know that we want to be purist and say that this matters more, but it doesn't to them. And that's just the reality.
Yeah, that's true. It's the reality. And we'll see next Wednesday in the return leg. I'll be traveling to Toronto to see if it's going to be the same result as last time I went to a final or a different result. We'll see if I see a Montreal team or a Toronto team lifting the Voyagers Cup next Wednesday. For once, Dwayne, today, you know, usually we start our show at 11 and news drops at 11:10, 11:20, 11:30 while we're on the show. So we have to wait till the next day to talk about it. It's like coincidence, sure. But today, FIFA released their new rankings earlier this morning. The new FIFA rankings may be giving hope to Canada and CONCACAF. We'll get there. But before, let's look internationally. Belgium, the best team in the world right now, followed closely by the world champions of France. So I guess the Nations League really is important.
Well, it is. I mean, look, the FIFA rankings are what they are. And I just like to say before we continue this segment that I'm doing it under duress and only because CONCACAF is forcing me to talk about these stupid things. But nonetheless, you know, we all acknowledge their faults, but they do matter now for qualifying. So we have to talk about them. Is Belgium the best team in the league, in the world, I should say? I don't think they are, but I think they're top five. So it's probably not completely unfair that they're ranked number one. They have been for quite a while. And they did that on purpose, actually, to try and help them out in qualifying and in rankings and all that sort of stuff. So they've earned those points the hard way. Whether they hold them much longer, we'll see. But I don't think anyone really cares outside of the 2 hours after they're released, nine times out of ten anyway. But it does, as I say, matter in CONCACAF. But I'll say this is the biggest issue I have with this. Do we all recall the conversation around the U.S. men's national team after their two friendlies this past break? We recall that, the doom and gloom about that. They went up a point. They went up a level. They're 21st now from 22nd. After that international break, the U.S. went up one ranking level. That tells you all you really need to know about the validity of the rankings. But nonetheless, here we are.
Now let's focus on CONCACAF. As you can see on your screens, you do have the CONCACAF standing in the FIFA rankings right now. Mexico is first in CONCACAF, 12 in the world with 1603 total points. Second in CONCACAF, 21st in the world, United States with 1545 points. Costa Rica, 43rd in the world, 3rd in CONCACAF with 1442 points. Jamaica, 4th in CONCACAF, 47th in the world, 1435. Honduras, 67th in the world, 5th in CONCACAF. El Salvador, 6th in CONCACAF, which is the last spot that gives you access to the hexagonal championship to qualify for the 2022 World Cup. 7th in CONCACAF, 75th in the world is Canada with 1322 points, only 5 points behind El Salvador. That is where things are getting interesting.
Yeah, and it was unanticipated that El Salvador would lose to the Dominican Republic, and that is what has allowed this to now become a real conversation again. You know, I'll be the first to admit that I'll put my hand up and said that I didn't think there was a chance that they could overtake into sixth. I was incorrect. There was. It involved two shock results, but they happened. So we move forward.
So we thank you, Dominican Republic, and we thank you, Bermuda.
Precisely. And as I say, it involved those two shock results, but since they've happened now, everything's in front of us again. And if Canada does manage to get, I would say, 4 points out of the two games with the U.S., which is a very, very big ask, to be clear, but if they do manage to get 4 points, then I suspect that they will find their way into that top six now. So that's a good thing. Look, the ELO rankings, the actual ELO rankings, these are sort of loosely based on them now, but the ones that have been around forever have Canada ranked fifth in the region, which I think is actually pretty fair considering the play that they've had over the past little while. But we have to use these ones, and it's going to come down to the last match day in November, I think, before we know for sure, but at least they're in the conversation, so we can go back to having a debate over whether seventh is better than sixth, which is also what makes this stupid qualifying system ridiculous, that we have to have that debate. I think sixth is better than seventh, but I can understand those that argue otherwise. Anyway, good results, good ranking points for Canada. It has been confirmed that it's 0.25 based on these numbers. The people that did the 0.25 calculations had these beforehand. So we now know for sure that that's what's happening. We should have known already because CONCACAF told us, but sometimes CONCACAF tells us stuff and it doesn't happen. So
yeah, sometimes we waited. Sometimes we're told stuff like, okay, and then we're told something else literally very soon after. It was a bit different and this time around, and I guess it was 0.25 instead of 0.125. So it is positive, and the Nations League game are worth a lot of points for Canada. So hopefully they can get good results versus the United States later in October. But it does give hope. And now that we have hope and there's a chance we can qualify for the Hex, well, I guess we have to take it. We got to make it. We got to make it in. And then why not? If you want to, I've been reading the 2018 Canadian Soccer Nation annual report since yesterday. And John Herdman is really open in the report saying they want to qualify for 2022. Well, if you really want to qualify for 2022, you should test yourself. You should be at the Hex. And you should qualify top four, top three of the Hex if you really want to go there. Why not? It's about time.
Well yeah, I mean, this has always been my take. It goes beyond the simple fact of just getting to Qatar. If you go through the repechage and you win it, great. You still have to win two other ties to get there to the World Cup proper from there. But, you know, that's a lot, and it's a difficult path. But beyond that, you're not really being tested until you probably get to that Hex versus repechage sort of game. And if I'm going to play that game, I would rather play it as the fourth place team in the Hex than I would as the team coming out, because that team coming out has not really played anyone prior to then, whereas you are really battle tested at that point, to say nothing about, you know, it's possible that when the balls come out of the pot, whenever FIFA decides to do that, it could be South America that you're playing in the intercontinental playoff. So you really want to be tested. And everyone says, oh, you know, the Hex is harder. It's a more difficult path. I mean, I don't look at it as Mexico, U.S., Costa Rica, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I look at it as three teams battling for one and a half spots.
So
really,
you're looking at Jamaica, Honduras, and either Costa Rica or Salvador. You're looking more like, okay, we can get results against these ones. It's fine if we lose the ones against Mexico and the United States as long as we beat the Honduras and Jamaicas and the Costa Ricas of this confederation.
Exactly. If you were to say there was a four-team group, just using these rankings, that was Costa Rica, Jamaica, Honduras, and Canada, if that was a semifinal group, we would all agree that it would be a very tough group, but we would still give ourselves a chance to get second in that group, right? I think anyone would. We would believe that that was possible. We wouldn't think it would be a sure thing by any means, but we would believe it would be possible. And if they were to get second place, you would at least get that playoff at that point. I think even potentially you could win that group and then you go directly to it. And you just want that ability to just book it, to have a chance to be playing with two games left. And if you win them both, then you're going to the World Cup. And if you slip up a little bit, then maybe you have a backdoor in. You don't want the backdoor to be your only way in, which is what the other side of the draw gives you.
And now there's at least optimism with Canada. 13-22, again, the total points right now, 75th in the world. El Salvador is 72nd. There's only 5 points difference. Canada's playing United States the next two games in the CONCACAF Champions League. And they have an opportunity to make some points. And hopefully El Salvador slips once again. And then you're looking at a very, well, not very, but an easier situation than it was looking like it was going to be a few weeks ago when we knew, when we heard about the FIFA points being used in CONCACAF for the hexagonal championship win.
Yeah, well, the other issue here is that El Salvador is stuck in Group B, or League B, pardon me, which means that the most points they can really realistically gain in any one window is about six, seven. You're not going to get more than that. And Canada, by virtue of playing the U.S., even though it's a harder matchup, has the opportunity to gain like 15 points with a win over them. So it's in front of them. Look, are they the favorite against the U.S. next month at home?
No.
No, they're not.
They're not.
But they have a chance, and that's really all that we can at least ask for. And look, I watched the City game at Opera Bobsleigh yesterday just for S&Gs, and I was listening to some of the expat guys there. These are guys that don't even care about TFC, let alone Canada, for the most part. You know, they've been in Canada for a long time, but their focus is mostly England and Manchester. But I was hearing them talk about that Canada-USA game. It's recognizable as a big game, and I hope that that is an indication of a greater momentum beyond this game to fill that joint, because it really is maybe the most important game that we've played. Well, it is the most important game Canada has played, including Gold Cups, really, since the last cycle. So that's fill the joint up next month. You can go to the Voyager site and find out how to get tickets in the section, or just go to Ticketmaster if you want to do that too.
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to go to Toronto two months in a row, because I should be there for the October game.
And it's going to be a fun one in a lot of ways. It's, you know, I think there's added spice to the fact that Josie and Bradley will likely be playing against the home team fans for once. You know, for 12 hours anyway, the Toronto fans in the stands will be cheering against them, and that's a weird sort of situation, particularly since it will be in the eve of the playoffs too.
But I hope they cheer against them. If I see someone clapping after Josie scores for the U.S. against Canada, your privileges as a season ticket holder of Toronto FC have been revoked.
Fair enough, although we do have, TFC does have some season ticket holders in Buffalo. I'll give them a bit of a pass.
It's Buffalo. They should not be given any sort of a pass. They live in Buffalo. Like, poor guys.
What about the Wings? What about the Wings?
Yeah, it's overrated.
Well, the sell with the sauce anyway. See all these places that have cauliflower wings now, which basically just tastes kind of the same.
Well,
anyway,
because it's not the chicken, the good part. It's the sauce, I guess. Yeah, it's all about the sauce. Let's finish today's show, Dwayne, by just looking quickly at the Champions League results from yesterday. My favorite club, Club Discoteca Bruges, 0, Galatasaray 0, Olympiacos 2, Tottenham 2, Bayern Leverkusen 1, Lokomotiv Moscow with the surprising result on the road in Germany, winning 2-1. PSG 3, Real Madrid 0. Angel Di Maria decided to make his former team pay. And that was quite an interesting game and fascinating game by PSG.
Yeah, it certainly was, or by Real Madrid, depending on your perspective. I'm not that surprised by the result. I mean, maybe by the size of it. But it certainly is a telling result for a club that is not, well, they're in crisis by their own making, you know, in terms of how you view Real Madrid. But as I was talking last night at the Voyagers Cup game with a few people who were there, Real Madrid does this every few years. They kind of, because of the way they build their teams, they occasionally just kind of have fatigue and a lack of identity for a year or so, and then they figure it back out.
But, and then they buy everybody. It's the way they build their team, like, they don't build, they buy. They buy, and then they just, it's like they buy IKEA. It's an IKEA way to build a team for Real Madrid. Like, you let somebody else do the hard work, design everything, and put all the pieces in the bag and the boxes. You just buy the box and you put it together. That's what Real Madrid usually does. But over the last few years, they're not the only one buying players, and the players they have brought in have not necessarily panned out. And you get rid of Ronaldo when you focus on Benzema and Gareth Bale, which have been at the club for a while already. You're a bit behind, I would say, the youth movement that's happening across the big teams in Europe. And I think that might be what's wrong with Real Madrid, is just, they're just too old.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, you can't really argue with them holding on to that core for throughout their Champions League runs, though,
duh,
right?
They were, it's like the best core ever created, but yes, I agree.
Yeah, other than, well, they didn't in the league, but they did get what they want, which they're a club that really prioritizes that for sure. So, yeah, this happens with all great teams. Eventually, they get a point where they have to reinvent, and they lose their very best player, who was, you know, worldly, all-time best players, right? And there's going to be an adjustment period, and yesterday was certainly an indicator of that possibility.
Bayern 3, Red Star Belgrade 0. I watched about a good 50 minutes of that game, the first 50, and I was like, oh, man, I hope Davies come in. And then I stopped watching because other games started and I had to do other things. But it was fun to see Milan Bojan with a couple of good saves beginning of the game. But then, well, Bayern will Bayern. And it finished 3-0 for the team from Bavaria.
Yeah, Byron's actually
good.
Quietly doing better than people expected, which shouldn't have been unexpected.
No, Bayern is always going to be a top team for Bundesliga and a very top team in Europe. And there is some sort of changing of the guard that did happen at Bayern Munich, of course, when Ribéry and Robben and all those former glories decided to leave, give space for younger players like Kingsley Coman and others to step up. And we're going to see more step up, and hopefully our little Canadian playing for Bayern Munich as well will be one of those players asked to step up.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, we all hoped that Davies would have a more major role in the Champions League, but it is still early days in his tenure there, and he has been getting some spot playing time this year more than last. So we'll continue to watch. I'll continue to pay Sportsnet $27.99 a month for the right to do so.
So expensive. Atletico Madrid 2, Juventus 2. That's another very interesting game, but leaves this group at the same spot as it was before, with the two best teams of the group being tied. Shakhtar Donetsk 0, Man City 3. Big win for Pep Guardiola and Manchester City on the road. Dinamo Zagreb 4, Atalanta 0. So I guess it wasn't a night for ATL teams, because Atalanta and Atlanta lost last night.
Atlanta United won till 2-0, but
okay, yeah, I was not paying attention.
Yeah, just not as big as you would expect. Atalanta, it's a bit disappointing for them. They were one of the stories last year in Serie A, but obviously with a struggle in a group that does very much look like it's a canter for City in that group. I mean, the Shakhtar game, I watched it obviously, and it should have been a higher scoring game, is what else. Like, City blew, they hit the post a couple times, they had a 2-0 breakaway that they somehow managed to not score on. Like, it was not a pretty game, and that was the road game. So yep,
it was, and that's the result in the Champions League yesterday, which has started, and we're trying to pay attention, and it's, again, we're trying to find the urge to not complain over the top products, but it's not the same. I have to say, I'm not gonna take judgment here, but it's, yes, we're in the bubble, so we're still talking about the Champions League, but the guy who works at the convenience store that usually used to ask me about the Champions League 2 years ago doesn't anymore. And I guess it's those little, I was gonna say water cooler conversation. Who has a water cooler in 2019, and who talks around it? But it's a text message conversation that I used to have that I don't anymore.
No, for sure. It's a point that we've made several times this year. It's gatekeeping. And look, we're in an in-between phase. This is, technology is the future for sure, but it is still not caught up to what I think the capabilities are. That is my main concern with it. And until it is universal that we have TVs that are automatically, like, obviously I know you can set your TV up to connect to the internet and watch it that way, and a lot of people do, but, you know, a lot of people don't too. And until we get to the point where it's just automatic, you can flip it on, that every bar is the same thing, that it's not cable anymore, that it's just straight streaming, then it'll catch back up and we'll get back there. But we've taken a step back. Like, we had the world 3 or 4 years ago. We had, it was the peak of what we could get and access in this country. And now, not just in terms of the quantity, but also in the quality of what we're getting, has taken a step back. And that, for us in the bubble, can be frustrating. And I guess what frustrates me too about this entire debate, such as it is that there are people that just will blindly support the over-the-top movement just because they hate the cable companies. And I get that, but it's not really what the point we're making here is. It's just, it's not a perfect scenario, but we'll fight through it and I'll pay my $100 a month so I can watch the stuff.
Same for me. I will. And we don't really have a choice. And on that note, we'll take a little long break until tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. We'll preview the weekend. We'll look at Major League Soccer. The big games that do have an implication for the playoff race, we'll take a look at those tomorrow. We'll also preview a couple games in Europe, of course, because that's what we do. We do take a look at what's happening across the pond. Until then, make sure you become a patron because you'll have a special bonus show, over 30 minutes of post-game audio coming from last night's Canadian Championship, will be available at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork just in a few hours. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solid Two Soccer Podcast once a week, where Dwayne and I really go deep into Canadian soccer lore and talk about our favorite things about the beautiful game in our country. And also, make sure you follow us on Twitter at 24th Minute, at Kevlarme, at Soccer Today SPN. And also, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Everywhere you get your podcasts, you will be able to find Soccer Today. But as always, until Monday, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.